Now, it's pretty scary coming up here.
How old is Ivy?
She's 9.
It's pretty scary coming up here. And some of us have learned that this weekend. Well, you were doing whatever you were doing this weekend. Mary Ellen and I got to, and some people that are here, got to go to weddings. This is the month of June. And people that were at weddings learned how scary it is to stand right here. So this is the annual June sermon from Scott about weddings are fun and holy and silly and wonderful. At least that's the beginning of this. But how scary it is right there. Because one of the things I get to see at weddings, maybe Mary Ellen can see peeking over the organ, that most people can't see is, see, I'm standing right here saying those words, dearly beloved. And I can see the groom, and I can see the bride as she comes up the aisle. And what I noticed at the weddings I was at, both Friday and Saturday, all of a sudden, everybody involved had tears in their eyes. Now, everybody expects the mother of the bride to burst into tears and all that kind of stuff. But all of a sudden, the grooms, big, tall, strong, we're men and we keep it together. All of a sudden, the grooms had tears in their eyes. And as the bride came forward and looked at the groom, she had tears in her eyes. And the wedding party had tears in their eyes. There were tears all over the place, just very quietly. Just very quietly. And there were tears in their eyes because weddings are holy and wonderful. Because weddings are filled with stress and silly and pretty. And because weddings are holy. And there were tears in their eyes because neither one of the couple at that moment knows what else to do with this gift that has come to them. They can't believe it. There were tears in their eyes because their hearts are wide open at that moment. And in receipt of that gift, all you can do is be astounded and have tears. Not for nothing. Not for nothing. Does St. Paul, at the end of that second reading, when he writes to the Corinthians, tell them, open wide your hearts. And at a wedding, not unlike Ivy here, which could be in just a few years, Mother. At a wedding, not unlike Ivy here, is complete vulnerability. Hearts are wide open. And all they can do is kind of quietly burst into tears. Open wide your heart, urges St. Paul to the Corinthians. Open wide your hearts, he urges. And if we but open wide our hearts, who might we find asleep in the back, waiting to wake up, as in today's gospel? There's a funny thing that happens. It almost always happens Thursday mornings at the Pioneer Home. It happens here on Wednesday mornings. Betsy Sharp and I, and sometimes Maggie, one or two people. It happens always, almost always, at the smaller, quieter services that happen. It may happen here this morning, but it usually happens almost always at the quiet services. And what that is, and you can, what that is we go all the way through the service. And then at the end, sitting around that table in the ptarmigan room at the Pioneer Home, three or four of us here on a Wednesday morning, There's this calm, there's this peace that settles over. So much so, you can almost touch that peace. You can almost touch it. It's that close. It's that real. St. Matthew's is open from close to 24 hours a day throughout the week. People come through here all the time. And no matter what chaos is going on in the parish hall or what upside downness is going on the church grounds or anything else, people come in and they say, I just need a moment of quiet. And they'll come in and they'll sit where you're sitting. And when they go to leave, after a while, they'll go, I just needed a moment of peace. And they'll say, it's so peaceful in there. I just needed a moment of peace. Not for nothing, in that gospel story that we read, Mark writes that after the storm, there was peace. There was dead calm over everything. Not for nothing are we always looking for that calm, for that peace, for that sense. Jesus, at the beginning of the gospel, says, come. Come. And so God calls each of us in all kinds of different ways. Calls each of us away, seeking that calm, seeking that quiet, seeking that peace, seeking a break from the stress and the pressure. In all kinds of ways, God calls and says, come. Come over to the other side. He calls each of us, as Matthew and Peter and Andrew and them get called at the beginning of the story. We're all seeking that peace. That's why churches are filled on Christmas Eve. Everybody goes to church on Christmas Eve. Silent night. Holy night. All is calm. All is bright. If I'd thought of that earlier, we could have been singing Silent Night today, but I just thought of that then. But you remember what it's like. You remember that. All is calm, all is bright. We're all looking for that. If we weren't, why would we take vacations? I need to get away from it. Jesus calls all of us, one way or the other, saying, come. But if our Lord calls, and he does, Goliath calls also, come. The world calls also, come. And you can hear the disconnect between those two calls in St. Paul's second reading this morning in the list between this and that, this and that, this and that, this and that, this and that. The world calls and says, come. And our Lord says, come. The early spiritual folks from the church said the way to read the Old Testament with all of its battles and wars is to realize that we live in conflict between those two calls. There was a fascinating article in the New Yorker several weeks ago in their issue on innovation. And the article was called, How Does David Beat Goliath? And the article was about basketball and military strategy, Lawrence of Arabia, computers, which I didn't understand, and David and Goliath in this first reading we had. How do underdogs win was the theme of the article. And the author of the essay points out two things. First of all, and you caught it when I did the reading because you all laughed, David doesn't play by the rules. He volunteers, okay, I'll go deal with this Goliath. And Saul says, well, that's not going to work. Yeah, well, I can do this, that, and the other. Oh, okay. Here's my armor. So you can play by the rules. David puts on the armor and says, I can't even walk in this stuff. And takes it off. David doesn't play by the soldier's rules. David plays by shepherd rules. David colors outside the box. David's doing his own thing. He's going to bust things up. He's not playing by the accepted rules. He goes out as a shepherd. Yeah. And at the heart of the essay was, not to get sidetracked, but no, not much about basketball, was a soccer coach from Asia who ended up coaching a 12-year-old girls' basketball team in this country. He didn't know anything about basketball, but he watched it for a while and thought, that didn't make any sense. And so they played full-court press every game and beat everybody, which you don't do in basketball, I guess. But he was from outside the system, so he said, well, I'm not going to do that. We'll do it this way. David doesn't play by the rules. And the second way you can see that, you know, there's rules to this. All right, I'm Goliath, I'm going to stand here, da-da-da-da-da, and you're going to come here and we're going to do this. David busts up the rhythm of the thing, and he runs towards Goliath. You see? Remember that in the story? He runs towards Goliath. Whoa, wait. David doesn't play by the rules. He plays by shepherd rules and soldier rules. He busts up the rhythm of what's going on. And so you and I, if we but seek that peace, have to bust up the rhythm of the world. And so what we do is we pray, which we all do one way or the other, but we hardly ever talk about. So maybe we ought to talk about it just for a little bit this morning, because some of the readings seem to be just about prayer. And that call that says, come. And that voice in your head that says, gee, maybe I should do this more. Notice, speaking about Goliath, that the early spiritual fathers and mothers of the church said that when you first begin to seek God, when you first begin to pray, you will meet three giants within your heart. Ignorance, forgetfulness, and laziness. Ignorance. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what page I'm on. I don't know what. I can't do this. I'm not good enough to do this. Forgetfulness. Oh, I meant to pray, but I forgot. Oh, God. Laziness. Oh, well, I'll start doing it tomorrow. But those are the first three giants you meet when you begin to seek God. The first three giants you meet when you begin to pray. And the call is to run forward even as David runs forward and defeat them that way. Jesus says, come. And Matthew and them get in the boat. And the second thing the spiritual fathers and mothers remind us is don't be surprised by the storm. I'm told, I never had the experience, that in the Catholic Church when you were confirmed, you're sitting in the right place, Chief. I'm told in the Catholic Church when you were confirmed, the bishop slapped you. We never did that in the Episcopal Church. Could be. The bishop slaps you to remind you that you're going to suffer. The first thing the spiritual writers of the early church reminded you is you're going to hit storms. And there are all kinds of storms that we carry. One way or the other, we carry. Even as with David, don't be afraid of the encounter. All kinds of storms. Today happens to be Father's Day. I'm jumpy about Mother's Day and Father's Day. Some people, even today, maybe sitting near you, maybe even me, we just sang the Navy hymn, are facing all kinds of things today. There are all kinds of storms that will come about. But the point is, in this story, our Lord is in the boat. The point is, from several weeks ago, the earth automatically provides. The point is, on the far side of the storm, there is peace and calm and quiet water with sunshine on it. And the peace of that river. The peace of that. Even as David heads into this conflict, even as Matthew, Peter, James, and them head into the storm, we are people always heading in the storms one way or the other. We are people who remember that that calm is there. And as we get older, as some of us are getting older, we know we've been through storms, and we can get through them. And on the far side of them is the wonder and beauty of finding love itself. On the far side of the storm, the breaking of the bread at the Eucharist, there is peace. Even so for you and I. Amen.